Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where three bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condover Kate. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington,
and our semi-regular co-host,
Andy Conjure Turner. Hello, guys.
Your beard is getting your beard game's getting stronger every time.
Well, come on. Thank you. I have a great big bushy beard by the time I'm done.
By the end of this podcast, yeah.
Incredibly handsome Andy Conduit Turner with the extra face fuzz. Not to say you weren't before, but this is just.
Is Andy sent you short up a notch. For handsome?
Andy, sir.
I'll have to ask my mum. Very kind of you, though, Ben. I was actually thinking I need a haircut a little bit, but you very, very graciously ignored that.
Oh, yeah. I can't really tell via Skype. It's hard to tell, you know?
This stark white room that I'm in here.
Yeah, it's like good at recognizing... 2 pixels thick. 2 pixels too thick right now.
Yeah.
I'm good at recognizing when people have had a haircut, no matter how minimal. If someone comes in and has had a trim comes into the office, I go, "You've had a haircut, haven't you?" It's like my shit superpower.
Don't comment if it's been good or bad. You've had a haircut.
Yeah, no, never do that. Just go.
Is it the smell? You smell the hairdresser's, like the whatever that hairdresser's smell is. Or you see some loose hair stuck to the forehead.
They look upset.
I used to hate going to the hairdressers when I had hair because I was always under the impression that they were trying to make me look like a footballer. Like every time I went in there, I'd come out and they'd do my hair in a way that was kind of too footballery for me.
And then as you come out, someone passes a football to you and you go, "What?"
every time.
Land on your back and everyone goes, "That haircut, you thought you were supposed to be a footballer. Look at the state of you."
The team coach pulls up Alex Ferguson, gets out. "No, Sir Alex, I'm not. I'm not even a footballer."
Exactly, yeah.
Please.
This is why I was genuinely worried that was going to happen. But yeah, no hair anymore. No worries. So what is the news, Ben? You got the news?
Yeah, so big news today is that legendary horror actor Sid Haig has passed away. Haig? Am I saying that right? Sid Haig. Yeah, so he was 80 years old. I kind of was one of the... I'm not hugely familiar with a lot of his stuff. I've never really been into sort of like House of a Thousand Corpses and, you know, obviously where he got one of his most iconic roles, Captain Spaulding. But he's also in The Devil's Rejects, right? And then the recently released Free from Hell. I'm assuming he's in that as well, right?
I don't know if he is. I don't know much about Free. I'm not a big Rob Zombie person, but he's...
Minor cameo, it seems.
Because he was ill, I think, when they were making Free from Hell. Yeah.
Well, he's a very iconic-looking character. Obviously, Captain Spaulding, a lot of people love, mainly because of the way he looks. Yeah, so there we go. Rest in peace, Sid Haig. Haig.
Fruity fucking Tootie. We used to love...
Fruity fucking Tootie.
We used to love... Devil's Rejects growing up because we were massive into Leonard Skinner, and that like final Freebird thing that goes on for 20 minutes was amazing.
Okay, I don't remember that. Sorry, are you into those films, Andy?
I haven't seen any of the that series of films. They've kind of been on the list that I might watch one day, but I just I think I just missed the boat on them. And not having not seen the first one, I didn't get the, you know, the drive to go and see the others as they came out. But I guess I know they're very popular. It's kind of a gap in the knowledge, I guess.
I've got to say, I saw the last Rob Zombie film I saw was 31, and I had to turn it off after like the first 20 minutes. I just couldn't. There's something about that film I just rubbed me up the wrong way. I found it frustrating. But I'll give it another go. I liked Devil's Rejects, so I'll probably go watch Free From Hell.
I've seen is, I think the only Rob Zombie films I've really sat and watched and known I was watching a Rob Zombie film certainly was the, you know, his runs at Halloween. They were fine.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first one of those two, and I thought it was, yeah, I thought it was okay. I didn't watch Halloween 2 because, you know, easy to get mixed up with the other Halloween 2 and the soon-to-be-released Halloween 2. easily confused. Which Halloween 2? Which is your favourite? Spider-Man 2? Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. I'll go with Spider-Man 2.
Three Spider-Man 2s. Overdoing it on the old Spider-Man 2. What other news have we got? So, Resident Evil 3 turned 20 this week. Another thing to make you feel old. So, 20 years ago was the first time that you heard the Nemesis utter stars. What is everybody's memories of these games?
I never played Resident Evil 3. I know because you're massive. Both of you are like massive Resi gamers.
You must remember playing this one. Have you ever played it or see it? Or
I know what it is. I've seen people play it. It's Claire Redfield, right?
It's Jill Valentine.
Jill Valentine. Yeah.
One of the three.
Actually, Luke.
I knew it was one of them women, Claire or Jill or Redfield or Chris or.
It was one Barry. Of them women.
Was it Barry Redfield?
Barry Redfield, he was the best one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was like an iconic one for me. Like the first three Resident Evil games for me sort of were all kind of on a fairly even keel of like how much I love them and how much I go back to them and play them as regularly
as
possible.
Good. But I want to know.
Is that? What's an even keel?
What's a keel?
It's one of them things, and it's even, isn't it?
It can be even or it can be uneven, and you don't want it to be the latter because that's no good.
You want a keel to be even. Yeah. So, yeah, 20 years of that makes me kind of want to go back and play it again. Would you like a remake of it? Yes, of course.
I would take a remake.
I imagine they are going to do it, right? They've got to do it in that Resident Evil 2 remake style.
I think that's been heavily rumoured, right? I'm not sure if it's rumoured as a, you know, just a bit of premium DLC you get for this one, kind of like... you know, when you get, I guess, Far Cry games mostly, you kind of get something that's same engine that comes out about a year after, but it's pretty much a full game that comes out maybe a 10 or less. I think that's been rumoured, but you'd think if they were going to announce it, today would be the day, right?
Oh, yeah, good point, yeah.
Yeah, that would be... that. I think it was maybe a couple of days ago that it was the 20 years, actually, unless they're going to just wait 2 days afterwards just to really fuck with us.
You've dropped the ball there, Capcom. Get on it.
Come on, Capcom. That was a Japanese release, though, so maybe they'll wait for the American release. Who knows? Maybe not.
That'd be good. I remember I got this like super early. When this came out, I was so excited. I was at, you know, when you're in the computer exchange back in the day, and they'd sometimes get like imports of stuff. And it can't have been that long before the UK one came out, but it was, you know, in that time of life where there was a proper gap between things coming out in the US and here. I had a PlayStation that could play import, say, you know, one of those local people on the estate chipped it for us.
Yeah.
Podcast like group listener Danny Taylor, his dad did it for me. But we got it done, and then I bought an imported version of Resident Evil 3, and I remember smashing through it, and it was one of the ones I actually played all the, you know, the post game stuff as well, where you can like do kind of things to unlock more stuff. I remember I actually spent a ton of time on that as well. I loved it. One of my favourites.
Amazing. Yeah. I had a chip PlayStation, but I don't think I could play imports.
Just copy.
Just dirty copies. But yeah, I remember playing this pretty early on and just being like, just the fact that you had to stop and make a decision in the game as well. Like there was a part where you can like run inside or fight the nemesis, push the nemesis off the bridge or, you know, do other things. I think that was a good element to the game as well. And it was the first time really, well, I suppose they did it a bit in Resident Evil 2 with Mr. X, but where someone was just constantly stalking you for like a good good portion of the game. And that was genuinely terrifying. He had a rocket launcher as well, so, you know.
That Mr. X stuff, was that, because that's quite heavily present in the remake. Was it as present in the...
Not as original? Present, was it? It was kind of like, it was...
It was scripted moments, wasn't it, in the original? Yeah. I'm not sure the tech allowed him to follow you between rooms.
Yeah, he'd like punch through a wall and stuff. And I don't even think, did you get him on the first playthrough? Or was it like the scenario B?
Only
stuff?
Scenario B. Did Mr. X come give it to you?
Yeah, exactly. So that was sort of like a really good survival horror experience. Other news, I guess this is maybe something you're going to talk about, but I was going to mention there's this Netflix horror series, Marianne, that's been released this week that a few people have got a bit of buzz about. You said it's got a scary old lady in it. Is that going to move into your, what have you watched?
Yeah, it's in my stuff, in my guff.
Stuff in your guff. Sorry, stepping on your toes there, Luke. Don't want to do that.
Stepping on my guff.
Stepping on your guffs, man. So I guess that's a nice little segue into that, unless anyone else has got any other horror news.
Nah.
The only news I saw was apparently the rights to Nightmare on Elm Street have returned to Wes Craven's family. It's gone back to his estate. I don't know if that will mean anything, if they mean they'll maybe sell it to another studio, if maybe his
Who was it
his
that
folks...
Robert Englund was saying should play... Oh, Kevin Bacon. Robert Englund was saying that Kevin Bacon should play Freddy. I think Kevin Bacon's fantastic. Whatever he's in, he's...
Kevin Bacon should play Freddy, huh?
Yeah. A weird choice, though. Why did he pull Kevin Bacon?
Is that like a bit of shade? Is that Robert Englund saying that Kevin Bacon, I reckon he could play a convincing paedophile and murderer?
Maybe.
Is he being mean to him?
Yeah, but then he'd be
Kevin
dissing himself.
Been a paedophile in a film.
Yes,
maybe that's where he got it
in a film. Yeah.
The Woodsman. Typecast. Yeah. He's been typecast. Are you playing a paedophile again, Kev? No. Yeah. Unfortunately, so.
It's okay, as long as they do it three times.
Yeah, gotta make that paper somehow.
Yeah, I'd go for that. I'd watch that, and I agree. I think he's good in everything he's seen, and particularly Hollow Man, of course.
Yeah, a lot of bits where you can't see him. He's great.
To be able to act invisible, that is a talent.
Yeah, it's a talent.
Kevin!
It probably comes in handy with all the pedo-y bits as well. So, Marianne, have you seen it, Andy?
No.
Move on from that, Jesus. Okay.
I saw a trailer of it and I was like, yeah, I'll watch this. But because it's a series, I've got to you've got to take a run up to that, haven't you? You can't just sit down
and jump. series.
So I think it just caught me at the right moment. I was like kind of bored and nothing was on. And then we put it on. I think I can't remember who recommended it. Dan Howarth in a Discord. Chat thing, and
Dan Butcher posted it in the Horror Hangout thing.
That's right. Yeah, it was Dan Butcher. Okay, no. So it's Spanish translation. I think it's Spanish. It's somewhat European, and so it's custom titles. It's about a woman who is a horror writer, and then in her books there's a witch called Marianne, and then you find out at the start there's a woman, an old woman from her hometown, who claims to be this witch from her book series. It's like forces to come back to the hometown because you need to talk to her. And it's just like, it's kind of cheesy in some places, but the actual scary moments are really quite good, quite effective. Like the creepy old woman, like she plays that role. She's been playing that role all her life. Like, she was born to be a creepy old lady. She kind of just had to grow into it. But, like, yeah, it's so good. There's some, like, weird bits where there's a woman... it's a lot of lots of people just hiding in corners, basically. But it's very effectively done. So I'd recommend it.
I'll give that a shout. Between this and today's movie, I think... If any of us ever write a story that's got like a creepy witch or horror goings on, I might immediately write as a first line that in the writer, nothing bad ever happened to them. No ill effects of horror ever came about from this story, just to make sure. Because we've seen a couple of examples between this and, you know, say, today's movie where horror stories, they tend to go awry. People get stitched up by them.
Do you feel like we're moving into like the meta? It feels like we've had a lot of horror stuff going off, and it's had a big uplift in viewings and box office tickets. Now everyone wants like meta horror. They want to have the people who write the horror sort of end up in the story itself.
Yeah. Oh, between that and the other news, maybe it's time for another Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
New Nightmare. Yeah.
The most meta horror film before this.
Yeah. I what did you think of that one? That's a fan favourite, that one.
I like New Nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. It's just super cheesy in the last sequence.
And his jumper's slightly off colour versus the rest of canon. Not getting negative. Yeah. But otherwise.
Yeah. Other than that, I've watched Ad Astra at the cinema. It's not horror, but have you guys seen it? Ben, I know you've seen it. Have you seen Andy?
No, I've not seen it yet. I might do, but it's one of those that I'm not sure. If I don't get round to it, I don't think I'll be too annoyed.
So it's pretty good if you like your space epics like Interstellar and that kind of thing. It's not as good as Interstellar and everything. And it's way more bonkers than I think anyone sort of thought it was going to be going in. Like, there's some elements of that. I was not expecting to see that in this film. And then, like, I liked it. Yeah, so the guy next to me was asleep for the last hour of the film. So, like, I think it has that. It's going to, because it's like a lot of washing atmospheric sounds and stuff. So, it's going to send some people to sleep.
Yeah, there are like a few
soothing space noises.
They're sort of few and far between. Yeah, definitely some mental stuff happening. Like, it's a near future film. So, obviously, space exploration is a little bit more advanced. There's a base on the moon, a base on Mars. All that stuff. And then there's, just a lot of things you didn't expect. Like space pirates, that sounds mental, but in this film it kind of fits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's, nice. It's worth a go, like, especially if you're kind of bored of the like super, super realistic space films, you know, like Gravity and First Man and even The Martian to an extent, even though that's obviously is on Mars. But yeah, if you're
But it relates, like, the Mars stuff in this film is way more sci-fi, I'd say, than the Martian Mars.
Yeah, definitely. The Martian Mars is a lot more like rooted in reality, isn't it? Where I guess this stuff is, but they've taken
really fucking tooted in reality.
but they've taken advantage of the near future setting where they've gone.
Look, everyone's phone's a little bit smaller.
Pretty much do what we want here, mate. We could do what we want with this. Space pirates, yep. Yeah. Killer baboon, yeah. Get one of them in there.
Yeah.
So I quite liked it. Anything else?
What else? Snowpiercer. I watched again because it's on Netflix.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I really like that film. I think it's just like. Yeah. I know some people don't get along with sort of how allegorical it is, but I think I like that aspect that it's so. It feels like you're. It would make for a great what they call you know the what they call it's not a tableau but the big thing where it's like. In medieval paintings, they have a story that starts on the left of the wall and goes all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Like a tapestry.
That's the one, yeah. So the tapestry, you could tell the story perfectly in the tapestry and it would kind of fit in really well. It's just a great film. Chris.
So what you thought? You're like, this film's good, but I'd like to see it on a tapestry.
I'd see the tapestry adaptation. Did they
you know, two stars.
You know, those
stars, not a tapestry.
Those things that you sometimes post on the Facebook, Ben, where it's like the script to screen. It shows the scene playing out. If you're one of those where it's just the tapestry underneath.
Yeah.
Do you think they made the tapestry first with the intent of making it a movie, like Mark Miller? They went in with the thinking that way.
The word tapestry has lost all meaning now. Tapestry.
Imagine what he was putting out instead of it. Now, I know normally I'm hiring for inkers, colorists, and things like that. This time I need weavers, the best in the business.
Finally, my calling has been. Finally, someone out there needs a massive, great big tapestry for the wall.
I think we're ready for a tapestry resurgence in the world. I feel like they're making a comeback.
Yeah, my dad used to do. Little tapestries, little like animals and stuff, and like is random that like little a things.
He's tapas always... restaurant, is it?
No, it was just like a little. Not like a massive tapestry on the wall, but just like little. He used to call them tapestries, but they were small, so I reckon he was just having me on. I've done a whole tapestry, and I've gone. That's fucking tiny.
You really set your dad up now. You'll be telling Mark Miller. Oh, you want to call my dad, Mark? He'll do you a tapestry of Snowpiercer.
Sorry, I have a tapestry. He'll probably work slowly. He'll bang it out in overnight. If you give him at least 9 years, I reckon he'd be able to do it. He'd get it done.
Yeah. What about you guys? What do you see?
I've been on a couple of, like, I've had a couple of, like, looking for bad shark movies on Netflix nights, and we've had just, like, quiet nights in. We've watched one called Bait, which is in a supermarket and has son of Australian Prime Minister Julian McMahon in it, old Dr. Doom himself, and some other people that were in Home and Away. It's not good, but it's not bad. It's all right. And then I saw another one called Surrounded, which is bad. It's about some it's about some YouTube stars who crash in a plane when they're going to go and have a look at this island. And then we all survive the plane crash in the sea, but then all die. The main problem I had with it is the actress that plays the main
shark
character in a film where you're largely in open water can't really swim. She's an awful swimmer. They're just like, it looks like she's karate chopping the water really awkwardly. She's like, she tries to swim. Yeah, so that's no good. Of the two, watch Bait, I guess. Or neither, you'll probably be fine.
They should do like a St. Bernard killer dog movie called Beethoven. I feel like that could work quite well.
A killer shark dog thing called Beethoven.
Yeah, why not? I saw I haven't seen it, but I saw some gifs of a ghost shark movie, and there's all these people getting murdered by ghost sharks that were swimming through
I've
the air.
I've seen Ghost Shark. It's also fairly terrible. Have you seen it? Yeah, I think Ghost Shark might be the one where they can appear anywhere that there's water, so they're like jumping out of puddles getting people.
Yeah.
And I think there's one bit where towards the end it begins to rain, and if that raindrop touches you, a shark can teleport through that and it can get you.
What is it called, that one?
Ghost Shark?
It's called Ghost Shark. I thought you...
I would recommend...
it's got to have a good title. What's it called?
Ghost Shark, yeah. If you want a real treat, though, you want to watch Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark, in which I'm not sure if the pilot of Mecha Shark is either Debbie Gibson or it's Tiffany, but I think they're both in it, and they're fighting Mega Shark with their Mecha Shark that they've made, and the other person who drives Mecha Shark is Tilk from Stargate SG-1. Yeah, but
Kratos.
It's a Clash of the Titans.
Kratos, yeah. Wow.
What was shark movie? That was a good one. The Shallows, that was all right.
Shallows was good.
47 Meters Down.
I quite like The Shallows.
I liked that. You saw a bit of the end coming, but as soon as they mentioned it early on, but yeah, it was good. There's two-headed shark attack with Hulk Hogan's daughter in it. That's a good laugh.
Brooke Hogan.
Yeah.
That's
her.
She's trying.
She's trying.
That's her. She's giving it a go, and she's giving it a good old college try.
She's out there. She's doing it. She's turning up every day. She's bringing out a film about sharks with more than one head. I think there's a sequel.
Okay, I've got it. The ghost shark movie title, The Haunt Thin of Hill House. The Haunting of Hill House.
How long were you thinking about that for?
It's been quiet for the last minute.
My God.
It's quite
We could have been saying the best podcast content, and you would have ignored it. You would have ignored it and gone, The Haunting of Hill House.
The Haunting.
I think we've established your next game, haven't we? Like, next time there's any vague excuse to have a shark-based name trivia game.
I can imagine you, like, fast asleep in the middle of the night, just sitting up, reaching for your notebook and going, that's it! Haunting of Hill House!
It's very, very close to the truth.
And you write it in the Slack group chat just so you don't forget it. Sounds like gold, but in the morning everyone's going, you what?
What?
Including me.
What? You, huh?
Okay, so what about you, Ben? Have you
watched that? So I watched Ad Astra, obviously, which you've discussed. Apart from that, I've had a little bit of a 80s fantasy resurgence. I've kind of made a list of things I want to rewatch, and I've gone in with two of my classic favorites. I've gone in with Labyrinth. Not going to really say much about it other than Hell yeah.
The girl with the power. What power?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just everything about it. I watched the 2 hours of the making of afterwards just to, I've been having a real puppet overdose lately with Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Is Labyrinth done by Jim Henson? Or is that?
Yes. He directs it, and all his puppets are there as well. His best mates, his little puppets. Sometimes like 10 people doing one puppet.
Do it.
Our work.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds like the title of someone else. No? Also watched Ridley Scott's Legend, which I don't know. Have you guys seen that? Genuinely terrifying. It's genuinely terrifying me as a kid.
It's Tim Curry, isn't it? Tim Curry is the Satan.
Darkness. Man. Yeah. So it's like really a really terrifying film. Like, it's got such a weird, ethereal, like otherworldly vibe to it.
Yeah.
And everything that's in it, like everyone's voices are like sort of and weird. It's just, it's not, it's, I like
quite,
it.
In my memory, it's quite whistly. Like a lot of wind very whistling past the microphone.
There's a lot of whistle, a lot of wind. It's Tom Cruise before he had his teeth done.
That's the one thing I mainly remember from that.
The unicorns are like make whale noises. It's like, I'll describe it, it's the darkest of dark fairy tales. Whereas there's some visuals in it. Like, I watched a little bit of it with my daughter, but she lasted like 20 minutes before she was just like, get this off. It's literally terrifying me. There are two versions of the soundtrack as well. One which is Jerry Goldstein, Goldsmith? One of them. And the other one's Tangerine Dream. The Tangerine Dream version is much better. Okay. When you've got like the Jerry version, it's very orchestral and kind of classic film score. But the Tangerine Dream version is like a weird, terrifying synthy nightmare. And yeah, Tim Curry is like unrecognizable in this role. Like, at least when he's Pennywise, you can kind of go, yeah, that's Tim Curry now, I can recognize him. Unrecognizable in this. Yeah, there we go.
I've not seen that for years, but I just remember, does he kill the unicorns? Does he like cuts?
Well, one of the unicorn does die in the start. Spoilers.
Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, it's definitely worth watching. If you're into like all the 80s fantasy, it's something a bit different. It's not like it is kind of cheesy in places, but it's just a really strange, mythical, like, it's hard to explain until you've seen it.
Willow rank in your, because we used to watch that one all the time.
Willow is either, right, so next on the list is either Willow or maybe Masters of the Universe or maybe Neverending Story. We're going to do a lot of the classic ones before we get to some other ones. We might do Lady Hawk as well.
Which one? Oh, Hawk the Slayer. Is that the, which one's Hawk the Slayer? Is that the Rutger Hauer one?
I'm not sure. Lady Hawk is with Michelle Pfeiffer, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I might do that. Just watching some films I haven't seen in years. That's it.
Cool.
That's it. Nice.
Cool. Okay. Well, I guess we'll crack on with Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I've got to say, I think this is the longest time since, for me, because I know you've done it a couple times, Ben. I think it was 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, I saw this. So I've had to refresh my memory by reading the Wikipedia bits. I mean, I may be a bit light on some of the details, but
I
don't know. See how we go.
That's right. Fine. I think between us, between the three of us, we can probably we can piece it together, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Ben, have you got any details on it?
Sure. So Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is a 2019 horror film directed by Andre Overdahl, based on the children's book series of the same name by Alvin Schwartz. A group of teens face their fears in order to save their lives. That's literally all we've got on IMDb. You know, can you be any more vague than that?
Sure. Teens fight ghosts.
I'll be more vague. It are a film.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a scary film.
C title.
Scary Stories Telling the Dark. What more do you want? Fucking hell. So Rotten Tomatoes, 79%. Critic score, 72% audience score. The audience weren't quite as keen as the ravenous critics who went and sort of masturbated as they were watching it. 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb. This is what the consensus is. Like the best-selling series of books that inspired it, Scary Story to Tell in the Dark opens a creepy gateway into horror for younger genre enthusiasts. So this is a big book in America, 400 pages or so. I don't know. It's but they all bang on about it all the time, about how they sort of grew up with it. I never knew what this was until fairly recently.
Yeah, same here. I'd recognize some of the visuals, like some of the book covers and stuff. I'd sort of see them around and sort of heard this referred to, but again, not really known what it was until it was announced there was going to be a film. So I did a little bit more digging.
Yeah.
Pretty forceful on the digging there.
What about you, Andy?
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't know anything about it until I saw this was out. I think, like you, I wasn't aware of the book series, and all this resurgence we've seen of sort of the, I guess, the entry to horror that I remember when I was younger. I was aware of Goosebumps when I was a kid, and yeah. And Slight Above, and I was aware of the, is it the Nickelodeon, the Are You Afraid of the Dark, that's about to come back as well?
I used to love that. That was my yeah. go-to growing up.
That's the Midnight Society one, isn't it? And blowing yeah. the dust in the campfire. Yeah. I knew about those ones. So as soon as this was advertised, I kind of knew that it was along that theme, but I'd never encountered the books growing up. Are they like Goosebumps? Is this film a series of shorter books, or is it just one big book?
I think
book?
It's just like volumes of short stories. Apparently they were very hard to put down. Sticky pages, apparently.
Sticky pages.
Okay, I'm done with the dumb jokes now. Okay, so, I told the trivia. I don't know, it's all right. I mean, it's definitely a gateway sort of. I would have loved this, actually. At a certain point in time, when I was 10 or something, I think it would have really got along with this film. Because it's quite scary at times. It's got people actually dying.
Yeah. So it's a PG-13, so is it 12A or is it 15 in our cinemas? Because it was 12A, I mean, that's pretty.
I think it was 12A.
That means you could take a baby and go, watch this, for the love of God. Watch it! Watch the jangly man! He'll come and get you. Yeah, so it's very good. It is goosebumpsy, but maybe like takes it to the next level a little bit.
Yeah.
I quite liked it. I think there were a lot of good, genuine scares. It almost felt like the plot kind of settled into a nice little rhythm, which felt all right to start with, but then after a while it was a bit like, oh, right. You know what I mean? Someone awakes, a story awakes a force, the force chases someone down. It kind of felt like that was all the stories were. It didn't feel like any of them were sort of that unique. There was possibly one which was a bit more standout as being unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, I thought it was good. Yeah.
I think I'm with you.
I was just going to say, I think it suffered a little bit from the same thing that It film suffered with. Like, the first few people the thing gets with ease, like, the people are never getting away. And then towards the latter part of the film, the ghoulies just can't seem to catch, or they seem to become really incompetent because they have to have that for the film to continue. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, the jangly man seemed like the most...
Like the Terminator.
But they could get away with him, like, pretty easily. Like, yeah. Hiding under tables from it.
Whereas the Harold, the scarecrow, he can't move at all. And he was, like, inescapable. Like, it was inevitable that he was going to get you. So, I don't know. That kind of thing grates on me a bit, but... Yeah, well. So, who we got in this film? I don't recognise... I think they're mainly... the only person I recognise is Dean Norris, who plays, like, the dad of one of the characters. Yeah. Zoe Margaret Coletti plays Stella, who's she puts in a great performance, I guess you could say. So she plays like a horror fan, a bit of a nerd. Her mum died, or I can't remember. I think her mum left.
Her mum left?
I'm
not sure if she left and then died.
Thing, all right.
Yeah, she's dead to her.
Okay. Michael Garza plays Ramon Morales, who is... I couldn't tell how old these kids were supposed to be, because this guy looked a bit older to me. He looked like in his 20s or something.
He was 28.
Yeah, he could have been. He looked that way. He's a drifter, lives in his car. That's all we know. And he likes horror movies.
Yeah.
He's got a knife.
Yeah. He's got all the things he needs. He's got a switchblade. He's got a car.
Yeah. Who else we got? God, I thought it said Lorraine Croissant. It says Lorraine Toussaint plays Lulu. I don't know who that is.
Is that the sister? No?
Lulu!
Doesn't look...
I don't know who that is.
No. Oh, I don't know who it is. Lulu. Maybe that's one of the...
Is that the old lady they go and visit?
That's the old lady, yeah. That's the old lady.
Okay. Gabriel Rush plays Oggy Hildebrandt. Older, nerdy sort of kid.
Oggy is a weird name for... Even if I know short in August, what? But it's just weird. Isn't it? Every time they said this name, I felt a bit like, what? Oggy.
You could never live in this country. That'd be all he'd hear.
Exactly.
Especially if his last name was Oi Oi Oi.
Austin Zur, who plays the sort of the comedic relief, Chuck Steinberg. I actually like this guy. I thought he'd put in a good performance. He a couple of good gags. He even did like a poo pun, which is right up my street. He says like poop de ta when he's going to throw something at someone instead of
poop de ta. Yeah, very good.
And I was like, that's one of my jokes.
I'll write that one down, mate.
He's pretty good. Who was the sister? I've actually not got it here. What was the name? Ruth Steinberg. Natalie Ganshorn played her. Again, I don't know any of these people apart from Dean Norris. Also, I was going to say, what's with all the Vietnam like stuff? It seems a little bit like there's loads of like topical news stuff happening around the time. And
is it because that's when the books were set, or do you reckon they're overplaying it to really play into the thing of, guys, remember, this is the 60s, this is when this is happening?
Yeah. Do you feel like we've got It and Stranger Things, they've kind of cornered the 80s, let's go uber retro and go all the way back to the 60s.
Yeah, let's go hyper retro all the way to the 60s, and then just to remind you that, you know, look, they're at a drive-in and no one's got a phone and all that other stuff.
Maybe. I mean, the phone thing, it does kind of help, because as soon as you have phones, it's an extra thing to sort of have to worry about.
You've got to put a scene in where they check and there's no signal.
Yeah, or it's cracked. I've been using my phone cracked for years.
You'd be all right.
So it says in 1968, three teenage friends in a small town in Mill Valley, Pennsylvania, go to prank the bully guy, Tommy. So that's literally how it starts, right? So Chuck is like, yes, I need to get this guy back or something.
Yeah, because he usually steals their Halloween sweets, I guess, because it's Halloween. At first, our main character's not going to go and join them, but then the other two phone her up, Chuck and Oggy phone her up and say, oh, come on, we're gonna get that no good bully this time, because he always steals the Halloween sweets. But then to trick them this time, they go out and they've got, what has he got in there? I know he's got his poo de ta, which is his bag of shit that he's going to throw through the window of the car.
Bag of shade.
What's in the, what have they got in the fake Halloween candy bags? Is it like, just,
razor
they said it smells
candy.
Like old man piss. So is it just like
soiled?
Yeah,
Underhosen.
Do you guys remember? Am I misremembering the start of the film? Where does he get like pissed pants from to put in there?
Does he
piss it himself? That's what you got to do.
I think he uses his own poo, doesn't he? Because he like there's a scene where he's fishing out. Yeah,
he's fishing out of the toilet. And his mum sees him and he goes,
like, "Use the fucking tongs." All right.
Use the tongs. Don't use your hands. If you're gonna have to get poo out the toilet.
I don't know.
Yeah, but he gets a bag full of soiled rags and then throws some poo in their car.
And his sister is
in the car with Billy as well.
On a date with him, and he's brought his two mates along. Come on, mate. Come on.
And a bag of shit. And a bag of shit.
Before you got covered in shit and crashed your car, you're already looking to be on your own forever. Come on.
I mean, he's a bit, I don't want to say weedy, but he's a bit weaselly for like a high school jock.
I mean, no offense to the actor, I'm sure this is nothing to do with you, it's the way the character was portrayed, but yeah, you're a bit weaselly, small, and not attractive enough to be the popular kid that bullies everyone else.
Yeah, come on, man.
I hope he's not listening to this. But
the actor was fine. Maybe he was playing a like, you know, they greased his hair on set. His normal hair's probably lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's far too weedy, but he had a baseball bat and he wasn't afraid to use it.
He had a baseball bat and like a Letterman jacket, didn't he, as well? Yeah. Like all them bullies.
So he gets out of the car and he chases our heroes into a drive-in cinema where they're playing Night of the Living Dead. It's always Night of the Living Dead. That seems to be the go-to, I guess, in the 60s. What else could you put on? But
what's like, free now? Is that they can get it?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's probably it. Because it's royalty free, yeah. I always forget about that, yeah. So the drifter guy, Ramon, is watching Night of the Living Dead. He's a big horror fan. And they get in his car randomly and they hide.
To hide from the bullies, don't they? And he's a little bit miffed, but he's okay with it.
I'd be more miffed.
If people get into your car, yeah. And bearing in mind, we learn shortly after that this is a kid who carries a knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Get out of my car! I'm gonna slice you.
Yeah. I mean, what happens? So Tommy turns up.
Yeah, they sort of they all get around the car, and they say, "Oh, get out the car, you guys! We're gonna beat you up with this baseball bat." But then, of course, not because this is a rotten kid clearly threatening violence in a public place, but because he's standing in front of the screen.
Sit down in front, asshole.
And they're all shaking their fists, and then the cinema guy comes along and they go, "All right, we'll go." Bye.
Yeah, so they get ushered off and then they've got a new member of their crew. Come on.
He's got a car.
So he's got a car, so then they go, "Let's go explore this haunted house." Why not? I'm not sure which one suggests it. What do they say? "Let's make this Halloween night much more interesting."
Really spookums. Let's get on there.
Really spookums. So they go to this house.
"But I've paid to get into this film now." He says, no, leave immediately.
I know what the ending is. Yeah, so Stella's a bit of a horror buff as well, isn't she? So didn't she say something like about the film? Like she's seen
She's
it?
A writer as well, isn't she? You see that she writes horror stories at some point.
Yeah. she has like famous monster magazines and she's well into it. But they take to
a house of like the wealthy Bellows family.
The Bellows family. That's
it. So yeah, there's all these sort of like rumors and urban legends and all this stuff about what happened to this girl who lived there. Apparently, she was potentially
locked in the basement or something.
Locked in the basement. Yeah,
was she disfigured in some way?
Disfigured in some way. Maybe a bit mentally ill. I'm not sure.
Albino.
Just throw all that stuff at her, innit? Just she's got enough to deal with, innit?
Yeah.
Get in the bloody basement. So basically, they find a secret room where she was allegedly kept, and inside there's a book, a creepy book. Where is that? Is it in like a chest?
It's like a little bookshelf at the back. I'm not sure if the bookshelf is hidden, but it's back there. It's already in a hidden room.
Yeah.
Which Ramon breaks into with the classic breaking in technique, the same as he breaks into the door. Got a flat piece of metal, a switchblade. You can crack any lock in the 60s with that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Into Fort Knox.
But then Tommy turns up, locks them all inside the room, along with Ruth, the girl he was on a date with.
Yeah, because she was like, don't be a prick, mate. Let's not murder my brother.
Like, I don't give a shit.
Pushes her in and then leaves him to it. And then in the background, then our main character, remind me of her name again, it's gone.
Stella. Stella performance.
Says she's told the story to the group already that they used to say a rhyme. And she says, like, if you say this rhyme, then it's the last story you'll ever hear, because then you'll die. And then she, when she's on her own in a quiet moment, having already been locked in the basement, she goes, let's say that rhyme. Then she does.
To be fair, right, I got nothing else on. I'm a bit bored. Let's say a little rhyme for me.
I've been locked in this room for upwards of 30 seconds. I'm going to say this rhyme immediately. Can you imagine if she'd lived in the 80s where there were Candymans and stuff all about? She would last 10 minutes.
Necronomicons. And
Beetlejuices. You'd be reading everything.
Don't say anything. Man, she'd be awful in Ghostbusters. Don't even think about what your maker could be. Don't even think about anything. She'd just think of the worst thing.
Yeah, but she says the poem, and then there's an ominous wind, and the door is
Ramon!
And the door is blasted open, and they've been released scot free, or so they think.
All
right. Yeah. So they get out. Stella takes Ramon home.
And Ramon, she taxes the book as well.
Yeah, Ramon's like, oh, so now we're going into Stella. And then he sleeps on the sofa. It's nothing happens.
He's very impressed by her comic collection. Is it Creepshow that she's got, or is it Tales from the Crypt? One of those. She's got some quality horror comics. Her NYPD Blue?
Yeah, her dad's like, you know, this kind of thing bothers me in films. You know when somebody sneaks
actually. He looks very
sneaky. he is. When someone sneaks someone into a house and they go, shush, be quiet, my dad's in here, he'll kill me if he knows you're in here. And they go, yeah, that's fine. But as soon as they get in the bedroom, they go, right then, here we are.
Kicks over the
jump up and down on the bed. Also, I know it was the 60s and everything, but, you know, dad, from everything we've seen of him, seems like a nice guy. And Ramon's, the reason he stays over is that his car's been trashed by those rotten bullies, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've scratched racism on his car. And they've scratched racism all over his car and wrecked the joint. So you'd think that you could probably just nip to dad and say, soz dad, gotta be a pain. But this guy just saved me from some rotten bullies who were going to kill me with a baseball bat. Do phone the police about that in the morning. But in the interim, can this man whose car's been vandalised stay on our sofa? You, my dad, being aware of that, can probably approve it. He'd probably go, sounds reasonable, thanks.
I like how Andy goes into these situations with, like, contract speak.
Hey, seems fine.
Yeah, I don't think any reasonable dad, even one from the 60s, could really dispute that.
But what's the other option is that he just literally walks in on him, like, has no idea he's there, goes into the back room and he's asleep on the sofa and just goes, yeah, where the fuck are you?
And he's got a knife.
Yeah. And he's got a knife, yeah.
Beat him up like that poor kid from Sleepaway Camp again when he's on the sofa.
Yeah.
I've got to stop him.
Okay, so the next morning, Ramon can't leave the town because his car is wrecked, and it's going to take him weeks to sort out.
Or something. Racism, yeah.
And also, the detective, like the local detective, is like, there is some. Oh yeah, oh no, because Tommy needs to go missing yet. But he says Tommy's gone missing. We'll talk about it in a sec. So you can't leave town yet. I think that's the sort of general gist.
So your car's been wrecked by racism, has it? Who did that? That racist kid that lives on the farm. All right, I won't investigate that, but I thought I told you best be moving on, but now don't be moving on because the bully's of this. Yeah, so, the bully who's publicly wrecked your car, knife carrier, has gone missing.
Yeah, so before that, we saw what happened to Tommy, didn't we?
Yes.
I think Stella's reading the book and
it begins to appear.
Harold.
Harold. Hello, Harold.
25.
Harold's about 25, 16, yes. So she starts reading the book, and it's Harold, who's a Yorkshireman. So basically, he's
a Yorkshire scarecrow.
He's a Yorkshire scarecrow. Bit bloody scaring crows all day, you bastard.
And then this dickhead Tommy comes and wails on him with a baseball bat.
Yeah, what is Tommy's problem with the bloody scarecrow? I think he does.
And then it was
scarecrow. It's just like a scarecrow hanging there.
No, it was the 60s, and there's no PlayStation and stuff.
Yeah.
But your mates really stand there and watch you bash a scarecrow with a baseball bat. I mean, at least
leave him alone.
Like,
he's had enough.
I mean, if you put tinnies on a fence and threw apples at them, that existed in the 60s, and that's more fun than your mate beating up a scarecrow.
I've got to say the character design of Harold and all the other monsters is really, really kind of well done. Like,
yeah,
I guess,
that's great.
Because people are always going about the illustrations from the books. I'm guessing they sort of just kind of recreated these amazing illustrations to film. But yeah,
scanned them into 3D printer, spat them out.
So Harold is comes alive and chases.
Had enough. Basically, he's had enough. He's like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of being made to look like a mug by this little prick. But Tommy, who comes home drunk and disorderly, gets basically told to go and deliver some eggs to the farm across the road like at midnight.
That's a
60s. Like, in the morning, man!
Is it, at first, do you think that, like, when he first come back and there are people all hollering and yelling at him, it's like, oh, he's a bully because he's got an abusive family. But no, they just want him to do his job.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, pissed again, are you, son? Well,
this is a fart.
I'll let that slide, but go and deliver these eggs, please. And he's like, all right.
Well, if I must. But I'm not happy about it. And if I see that scarecrow on the way...
Yeah, I'm taking my baseball bat with me.
And he does. He basically gives the scarecrow a bit of jip again. Like, why ain't you got to do any chores around here? Why ain't you got to take the eggs to the farm?
The scene with the scarecrow coming to life and that, it's quite well done. I thought it was kind of spooky. I just had a quick look. The director, he also did Autopsy of Jane Doe. Did you see that one?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
That's some proper spooky moments to it. He's
Spookums.
He did Troll Hunter, which I absolutely loved. Did you see Troll Hunter?
Yeah,
I've not seen
that. It was good.
Oh, Andy, you love it. It's
I've been told it's great, but I just haven't got around to it.
And he's doing The Long Walk, the Stephen King, Richard Bachman book.
Oh, nice.
Coming out soon. That's cool. But yeah, the scene where Harold comes to life is great. I wasn't expecting it to be quite as... It's not gory, but it still feels kind of brutal, like the way he stabs Tommy in the chest with a pitchfork.
Yeah, he gives him he forks him right up, doesn't he? And then he fills his guts all filled with straw.
Yeah, he's like pulling it out of his mouth and his eyes and stuff. It looks horrible.
Yeah, so he basically turns into Harold, doesn't he? Here's what it's like to feel full of straw. It ain't nice. It's horrible. You're always hungry.
Don't fill you up.
Don't fill you up. Straw belly. Yeah. So yeah, he stabs him with a pitchfork and then that's kind of it, isn't it? He's kind of killed or transforms, essentially.
Just, I guess he's gone, isn't he? And then you just see Harold the Scarecrow, the same appearance, in the field wearing his bully's jacket.
Are his parents thinking, our kids put his clothes on the scarecrow and he's ran off naked. Like,
or he's wearing Harold's clothes.
Where are the fucking eggs? Did they get delivered?
Maybe that's what Harold has gone off to do. He said, I'll be grateful. I'll deliver the eggs. I'll deliver the eggs like no one's business. Do my job. You think it's so easy standing in this field all day scaring them crows?
Tommy's business.
The farmer across the way is absolutely gasping for an omelette. He's like, oh, absolutely. Come on, where's my breakfast?
He's done his toast. Breakfast. He's got like loads of little soldiers lined up. They're all buttered. They're going gold.
Empty egg cups.
Oh, they're all ready to go. Where's the eggs? Tommy hasn't delivered them yet. Oh, no, little prick.
And what is it? It's the 60s. You can't tweet about that to complain. You've just got to wait for him to come.
Come on, Tommy. Do your job, Tommy. After that, Tommy's reported missing. Stella and Ramon sort of do a bit of investigation, find the scarecrow. wearing Tommy's clothes. Stella...
They met themselves by going to the scene of the crime.
Yeah. Let's get straight to the scene of the crime. How are we going to get those police there? Go around back.
Yeah.
They'll all be there in the front. We go around back, have a little look. And basically, obviously, Stella automatically believes that all this is happening. She's sorting the story. So automatically, all this has come to life. But they're hesitant to go to the police because, obviously, Ramon fears they'll suspect him due to his race and the fact he had an altercation with Tommy. So he's obviously turned him into a scarecrow.
Obviously. so I guess we get the next story.
Is the next story the big toe or the red spot?
The next story is the big toe. So obviously everybody sort of goes about their own ways. But Oggy, he's at home alone. I think his parents have gone off somewhere.
Mr. and Mrs. Oi 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 have gone away for the weekend.
But obviously Stella and Ramon are there at Stella's crib. And for some reason, all they seem to want to do, are they radioing him going, Oggy, you're in the next story. Don't do this.
Yeah, don't eat anything. And he's like, what, don't eat anything?
I'm just going to eat the
biggest thing that's inside this pot of casserole.
This massive pot of stew.
Yeah, like who's mucking about with that? And don't even say to his mum or something at some point, I'm going to eat the stew. And she's like, what stew? Well, it's in the fridge. I'm going to eat it.
Classic mum.
Always making stews.
Can't get me.
So he starts eating the stew, which doesn't look particularly appetizing, does it? Even not to mention the fact it's got a severed toe in there floating about.
Why would you, like, if there's any sort of meat, I mean, it may be a sausage. You could think it's a little bit of sausage or something, I suppose. But you would bite into it. You wouldn't, like, why would you swallow it whole?
Does he swallow it whole?
He guzzles it right down. But also, did he spend the time to warm that through?
I don't think so. It wasn't piping hot.
Yeah, that's not going to be a nice stew. He wants a cold stew.
He's like, oh, lovely stew. Delicious. Stew popsicle. and obviously what pretty much instantaneously happens is that there's just a weird, tall, gangly zombie with a missing toe. I feel like I've heard this story before myself, the missing toe stuff. You know what I mean? In some capacity. Maybe not the capacity of this, but I've definitely heard something about a missing toe. Weird story. You got my toe or something like that.
Yeah, the zombie comes along, the corpse, this woman, and she's asking, who's had my toe? Oggy again.
Why should Oggy get blamed though?
Yeah, he's a young. He didn't cook it. He didn't take it.
Yeah.
If someone accidentally eats it again, maybe if he would have just had a proper dialogue, then they could have got around this. So look,
I'll give it back, but I'm gonna pass it.
Full disclosure, I did eat your toe.
My mate's got some tongs that he uses as poo. He'll pop around. He'll sift through. If he just gave it back, maybe she would have been fine. So this is another one where I felt like the actual tension and build-up and the actual scary cinematics of it all was kind of great. It's genuinely kind of unnerving. And he disappears the way he just gets pulled into the wall.
He gets slapped under the bed like the kid with the clown from Poltergeist, doesn't he? But then you see the nails on the floor go right into the, just right up to the skirting board. And it's like when the others arrive, just a little bit too late. Yeah. He's gone, isn't he?
Gutted. He's just vanished. Yeah, so that was pretty creepy. So that was like practical effects as well, wasn't it? It was someone dressed up as creepy zombie.
So all the practical effects that were great in this, the next death scene, not a death scene, is it? The next story attack is the big spot. Is that the red spot or something like that? With all the CGI spiders. I've got to say, the CGI in this is pretty naff.
Yeah, practical effects are great, and I think they obviously didn't have much left for computers.
No.
No. So it's like the sister like gets a spider bite on her face. She's at some sort of dance. The spider bite kind of existed throughout most of the film, didn't it? It was like a little bit of a spot or something.
She gets bitten when they get locked in the Spookum's room at the
I mean, I don't know if you've ever ever seen the pimple popping doctor. You ever seen those videos on like YouTube and stuff?
Yeah. I know. I've seen it.
Yeah. This was like, oh, go on, give that a bloody good squeeze, go on. And she's squeezing it, it's getting redder and redder, and you know, then a little, what I thought was a little hair in the trailer, but obviously it's a little spider's leg, because it goes.
Yeah.
And she squeezes the affected area, spot explodes, hundreds of tiny spiders all over her, but luckily Stella, Ramon and Chuck, they all get there pretty quick sharp to save the day.
They, and there's like some weird, push them all off, right?
Some weird ghostly shadow thing lurking around, and then whenever all these things are happening, like,
And it's meant to be Mrs. Bello, Sarah Bello, is that right?
Sarah Bello. Yeah, Mrs. Bello. And then I can't remember this exactly happening, but apparently,
go on.
Apparently, like, what's her name? Ruth pretty much immediately ends up in a mental institution, which I think is like a bit of an overreaction, isn't it?
Yeah, and someone says it in like quite a mean way later on, the policeman, doesn't he? He's like, well, no, because we saved my sister. He went, she's in the loony bin, mate. She's stitched up forever.
She's straight in the loony bin.
You didn't say that. It'd be better if she had been eaten by spiders.
Loads of spiders came out my face. Straight in the loony bin. Do not pass go.
And also, would you be mad? Because you didn't imagine the spiders in your face. They really were there.
Yeah. Everyone else saw.
She's got
like
a giant scar on her face, isn't she, dear?
Jesus.
Yeah. So I think they also try and destroy the book. They pop it on fire. They put it on fire, and it doesn't burn. I don't have to do anything.
Hang on
else.
A sec, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Right, back again. Apologies, Emma. Staying over at Karen's mum and dad's, and
pizza.
They've got other house guests. Oh. No pizza this time. Ricky is being a pain and is barking at people, so he's had to come in and sit with me.
Okay.
There he is.
Hey, Ricky.
Ricky!
Have you seen that film, Ricky Yo? The story of Ricky. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah. I know what it is, but I don't think I've seen it. It's like a, it's like an Asian.
Yeah, it's like meant to be like extreme gore, sort of ludicrous gore. I want to watch it. It's about 59 minutes, that edit point is, Ben.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, right. Okay, I got you. No, I thought you were like Ricky O. I thought you were going to say it's 59 minutes long, mate. That film. For sure. Okay.
They try and burn their book, but the book doesn't burn. It's a problem with that book. I don't know how else they don't try it. There's no, they don't pop it in chemical waste. They don't. What else? They don't rip. Oh, they try and rip the pages, but the pages don't rip.
Pages just come back. There's always more. Chuck it in the sea.
Chuck in the sea.
Bury it.
I don't know. Do something. If they bury it, I mean, could you have to, do we have to see the story being written for it to have an effect?
Yeah. Or it'd probably just happen, but you wouldn't be able to. Almost seeing the story is a good way of like being able to try and save someone, I guess.
Yeah.
If you don't know, it could attack you whenever, in whatever form.
But as you see the story giving it power to make it, that's the thing. Oh, but yeah, you never know. It's chicken and the egg situation.
If a tree falls in the woods,
the eggs are. We're still waiting for it to get delivered.
Yeah, how can you deliver it?
Farmer's
dead now.
They go to the mental institutions. That's the next bit, right?
They go to a local hospital where they do some sort of research about what happened to the Bellows girl, and they find that her brother was performing electroshock therapy on her as part of like some weird cover up. Like, I think their family's mill had been like poisoned in town's water. Several children have been killed, and they thought, right, let's just blame it on the albino scapegoat.
Let's blame it on that albino scapegoat that lives in the basement.
It was her. She'd been killing all the kids, but they've all been specifically poisoned with mercury from the town's water supply. She did it. Come on.
She did it from the basement. Because the only thing we left her in there with was a storybook, a pen, and all the mercury. I didn't wonder why she was asking for it all.
Even the mercury. At the hospital, here is when we get to see Chuck's undoing. He's pursued by the pale lady. So how would you describe her? Like a
evil Teletubby.
Teletubby with
made of
long
marshmallow.
Grease.
It's Mr. Blobby. This is where Mr. Blobby's gone. He's been gone a long time, and he's grown some hair.
His rubber has perished.
He's chilled. To be fair, he's chilled right out because he used to be like blah, 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 blah.
Now he's just like
This is pretty creepy, I guess. he's sort of in the middle of like four different corridors, and he tries to go around each one, and it's slowly getting closer and closer. He doesn't seem to learn very quickly that that's what's happening, though. He keeps like doing it. He goes, well, maybe the next one. Oh god, no, maybe the next one then. Oh no, this one.
You think this one would have tried to like slide between one of the legs or something and go round?
Yeah, because it's quite slow, because it kind of just wants to goes in for a slow hug. So he could have like, I don't know, gone around.
He could have gone like this. He could have gone, see ya!
Lured him into a corner and then just got round. Yeah. Maybe they didn't have Tig in the 60s, so he didn't have that training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, hugs him and sort of absorbs him into the body. Yeah.
And then it vanishes.
Yeah.
Stella and Ramon then find his signature pen, which is a nudie lady pen, which he carries around with him everywhere, you know, because that's basically porn.
You know, they're like, he must be dead. There's no way he would have left this.
Well, he left his pen on the floor. He's got to be dead. Jesus.
If I ever find someone's pen, I know. That's it. It's call off the search.
Then they both get arrested, or is it both of them get arrested? They weren't supposed to be in the hospital.
I think they get a bit done for being at the hospital, but Ramon, it comes out when the sheriff comes, he goes, I know about you, with his fake name, like instead of like Ramon Smith, his name is Ramon Jones, and it's like Ramon Jones, draft dodger, and he's like, oh no.
Oh bloody hell. I've been stitched right up here.
Yeah, and but Stella could go home. She just, because the sheriff goes, just phone your dad, he can take you home. And she phones her dad and says, no, nah, don't come and pick me up. I'm staying here. And he's like, oh.
All right, yeah.
Okay, then I guess you won't phone your dad, you have to stay in prison. So they're locked in the prison cell.
And then we get the next story quite quickly. Now they're kind of layering up, kind of coming towards the end of the film. And maybe, I mean, the best... I don't know. Is this what's out of all of them? What's your favourite monster in the series? I quite like the Jangly Man.
I guess the Jangly Man, because he's the he feels like the most genuine threat, you know. Mm. Again, it is a bit disappointing that everything is just essentially a monster comes out and tracks you down. There's no like sort of that. Nothing too psychological, or you know, I expected maybe a story where something was happening to the actual person. You know, I don't know, a hand growing out of their ass, I don't know, something like a body horror or something. Yeah. The fact that it was always like
just the spiders,
yeah, that was the only one, exactly.
It was all just gooey monsters off to get you. But you're right, the Jangly Man is quite terrifying.
Mitai Doty Walker
is the name of the story. He's the monster from a campfire story that Ramon had heard. So the Jangly Man, does he kill the policeman? He's able to like reconstruct himself from several body parts and pull itself apart and stuff. So tries to kill Ramon. Ramon and Stella escape, and they kind of run back to the Bellows house, where some weird stuff starts to happen, where Stella pretty much immediately sort of steps back into some sort of what, time warp.
Yeah. It's a bit like the Jangly Man in a Hill House, isn't it? Where she goes back into the past.
The house was very similar as well.
The Haunt Finn of Hill House. Did you say the Haunting or Haunt Finn?
I didn't say the Haunt Finn, mate. But we know you have to have £1.50 for every time someone mentions it. and then in modern day, where the house is still derelict, Ramon is being stalked by the Jangly Man, who's kind of like going around. He's sort of kind of like hiding under tables and going. So apparently this was a physical performance. It wasn't entirely CGI.
The guy whose body splits into several pieces was completely fine.
Well, apparently he was doing like a lot of weird. There was obviously like some sort of contortionist dude.
Yeah,
he was doing some contortionist.
Yeah, well, it's good then. I think. You could tell. I mean, the face. There was some CGI stuff going on. There was some embellishments.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jangly Man chases him all across town. He's like, he goes full on Terminator. He chases, runs after the car. He jumps on it.
He gets pinned to a truck at some point, doesn't he? Smashes it into a bus.
Yeah.
Terminator.
And then, so they go to the house. What happens there? So Stella meets Sarah Bellows and tells her, I know someone's done some bad stuff to you, but you shouldn't do bad stuff to other people. I'm pretty sure that's what happens. And then
Sarah basically says,
what?
Never thought about it like that. So,
all right.
I thought I just got to fuck everybody up for even trying.
Okay. Yeah, she does that.
She basically says, like, just because people have been a dickhead to you doesn't mean you have to become a dickhead. And it's like, oh, I have, haven't I? I've taken it too far.
Oh, you're right. I've been a rat nose.
And it's getting close because the jangly man has almost caught Ramon under the table. And Sarah Bellows is like, you, Stella, I got a story for you, mate. And this is going to be a right old corker. But she goes, oh, well, I tell you what, I've made you feel a bit guilty for it. And now I promise if you don't kill us, I'll tell everyone the truth about you. And I'll say you were sound. And it was your shared family that poisoned the kids. And it was like, it's a good deal. I'll disappear now. Yeah. She does.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then Sarah tells Stella to write the truth in the book, in blood as well, I think.
Yeah, she does.
Before she and the jangly man vanish. And then Stella comes back to present day, reconciles with Ramon, and basically says, I'll just have to write a story in blood to save your life. And he says, what?
I've got to go to war now.
because I've dodged the draft, so I've got to go to war. Also, can you imagine? I mean, I write on Word, you know, and when you've got a deadline, you've got that word count to get up.
Yeah.
I make mistakes, so you've got to go back, let alone writing on paper in blood. That story's going to be a right mess.
Yeah, that's commitment, isn't it?
Right pain.
Oh, you've used the wrong form of there. Stella, you're going to have to start again.
How do you erase it? You'd have to start from page one, right? You'd have to start from word one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's also like, so it ends with her getting a bus. And there's some like voiceover added that I kind of detested. Like it was her saying, I don't know what happened to Chuck and Oggie, so I'm going to try and get them back. Like it kind of feels like maybe that wasn't in the original film, but the test audiences were like, what, they want to know what happened to Oggie and Chuck, so they added it in afterwards. I don't know. It feels kind of
they're on. Yeah, like Ramon goes off to war, and she promises to write to him every day.
In blood.
Yeah, come on, because you're not gonna have to for the letter to get all the way to Vietnam and back.
So I'm only writing in blood now.
You'd be having to stack those letters. You'd be like, dear Ramon, obviously since my letter yesterday, it'll still be several weeks before that one arrives. Yeah. But since then, I've done the following. Obviously, you've not had a chance to respond to what I was going to say yet, so this is going to be increasingly complex to keep track of.
Also, what are you going to talk about? I mean, it gets to the point where you're just sending a picture of a smiley face. Dear Ramon, smiley face, cheers.
Dear Ramon, just had a lovely slice of Battenberg.
Yeah. How are you doing? Don't tell me because I'm sure it's horrible because you're not. Yeah, but then she gathers up and the sister is no longer insane and she's with her. She's got a plaster on her face.
Yeah.
And they are going to get Chuck and Oggie back using the book somehow, but she doesn't know how.
Yeah.
She's got a Nelly plaster on her face.
Dean Norris is now still NYPD, but not so NYPD blue. He's smiling his head off at the end.
NYPD comes to terms with the fact my wife has left and my daughter's okay.
Yeah. So I've got some trivia for you. If you guys are up for some trivia.
Always.
Sort of trivia.
Definitely, man.
It's a little game. It's called the name game. So we know the naming format of the film. Scary Story to Tell in the Dark. I give you some phrases or words and you tell me what the film that I'm describing is called based on that naming convention. Okay. Number one. Boris Johnson, David Cameron, Maggie Thatcher.
Scary Tories to Tell in the Dark.
Well done. Well done.
I would say Hairy Tories for some reason.
He didn't say IDS, to be fair.
Yeah.
Number two, Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween. This is maybe a bit obscure.
Scary Lories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah. Okay, this one, you're not going to get this one. It's just not going to happen. A film about a group of drug dealers who climb inside a narcotics officer's butthole and tell each other stories about milk. I'm sorry.
Why are you laughing?
A film about a group of drug dealers who climb inside a narcotic officer's butthole and tell each other stories about milk.
Dairy stories to tell in the narc.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Basically, Andy just wins trivia forever based on that. There ain't no coming back from that.
Okay, see if you can get this one then, Andy.
I bow to
Smarty
you.
Smarty pants. So after Quint gets swallowed by the Jaws shark in the film Jaws, he finds a little book inside the shark. It's a book of Brothers Grimm tales.
Some fairy stories to tell in the shark.
Well done. Jesus Andy, you are good at this. Yeah, okay.
See, actually, Andy's fan is calling now.
you are not. No way you're going to get this one. Okay, a drug dealer heads down to sell his wares near by the swinging roundabout, and he's got loads of stock.
He's got loads of stock.
Yeah.
And the drug dealer goes to sell his wares.
By a swinging roundabout.
By what? Swinging a roundabout?
Swinging a roundabout. And some rocking horses and... and trees and football
it's,
fields.
It's some type of stories to tell in the park.
The park.
I'm not
yeah,
sure
yeah.
What types of stories.
Okay, so a drug dealer heads down to sell his wares and he's got loads of stock.
No, I'm done, Luke.
You see, I could do it if it was a this drug one's... dealer with Tourette's, because then I can say sweary stories to tell in the park, but no.
This one might be pushing the naming convention a bit. Inventories to sell in the park.
Yeah, not having that, Luke. Jesus Christ.
Inventories
even,
to sell
even,
in the park.
Even Andy, clearly the expert of this, is shaking his head in disbelief. That is Benson. Give us a chance.
Inventories to sell in the park. No, it's, no problem with that. Okay. Well done, Andy. You did very well. You got the shark one. There's no question about that.
Scary stories to tell in the narc one, and you said he wasn't going to get. No one was going to get that.
That sounded too difficult. Dairy stories to tell in the narc.
That's a title of Andy's new short film, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we need to rate the film. I don't know what we're going to go for yet. So I'll let you guys go.
I mean, it was pretty good. It was a bit goosebumpsy, as I said. Some of the repetitive nature of some of the stories and just being stalked by someone was good. But I think the vibe was good. The creature designs were good. I'd be happy to give it a B-.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Andy?
Yeah. Similar to Ben, I think we've seen it a bit this year. We've seen it with this, It 2, Annabelle. I think stories that individually there are pieces of them that work very well, but I think sometimes they suffer from the thread that sort of strings them together. You know, finding the connectivity between them. It's just kind of what are we going to do as an excuse to get to this next really well crafted individual horror scene we've got done. I think if I were a kid and this is my first horror movie, I think there's going to be a generation of kids that start watching horror movies now that start with this and are going to love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for me, I think I can accept that it's kind of not the intended audience for this, right? So if things don't hang together for me, I can kind of forgive it that. So I'm going to go with maybe just slightly higher with Ben, and I'll give it a B.
Cool. Yeah. I was going to go for a C+, but now I think about it, I do remember like the first act, like really zipping along quite nicely. But it's just like the last, the sort of the backstory of the Bello stuff. I was like, I wasn't too into it. And the ending kind of let me down. So I'm going to give it a B-, I think. Pretty good.
Do a B-, then. Go on. That's probably a few.
Okay.
Nice.
We've got anything else we want to say before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think that's it. Next week, we're going to do this. It's going to be a few weeks since you've seen this as well, Ready or Not, right?
Yeah, it's quite a simple story, though, I think, to that. I can remember that one.
You can only be one or the other, can't you?
Yeah, very nice.
You can be ready. Could not be.
Yeah, I'll be ready. It could be not be.
We've done
a lot of new releases in a row. Are you going to go? Yeah, I'll see it this week as well.
I might actually go and watch it again because it's out now, right? It's proper out now.
It's like today, tomorrow?
Out Wednesday. I think it's out Wednesday, actually.
What's the reviews been like generally? It's been all right.
Very positive, I think.
Okay, so this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting this show. Thanks to the listeners and the people on the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors. Follow Andy on Twitter at Andy, what's your Twitter handle?
SuperAndyT83.
SuperAndyT83.
Sit.
And follow Ben at Ben_Errington.
Correct. That's where you find me.
Cool. And me at Luke of Condor. Okay. So, cheers. Nice one.
Cheers, thank you very much, guys.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.